Our study this morning will begin in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. If you would, turn with me to that place. In Matthew chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 33. Randy, I hope we have a backup one of these things. We're going to need it if Bob keeps leading singing. Matthew 5:33. And again you have heard, the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but fulfill your vows to the Lord. And I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond this is of evil. We don't want to face the consequences sometimes of our behavior, and so we lie and cover up the behavior. We don't want to appear ignorant on a certain subject, and so we lie and pretend like we know all about it. We want to make a good impression, and so we exaggerate the facts, or we make up the story, we make up the persons, the places, and the things. We don't want to hurt someone's feelings, and so we decide it's okay to lie under the circumstances. We don't like confrontation, and so we tell someone, we'll be at a certain place, we'll do a certain thing, or we agree with you. When all along we have no intention of being there, we have no intention of doing this or that, and we really don't agree with them at all. Now, these are just a few of the ways people try to rationalize the sin of lying. Lying has become so common in our society that many people today don't even think twice about lying under the circumstances just related. Many people are so deceived by our relativistic culture, they'll say, lying is wrong unless. Brother and sister, friends and neighbors that may be visiting with us this morning, I want to prove to you from the Word of God, there is no unless. Lying is a sin under any and all circumstances. It is always wrong to lie. I don't want you to go with me now to the books of absolute truth and learn the truth about lying. And when we go to the Word of God, we'll find that it is very plain, it's very straightforward about this subject. In no uncertain terms, God shows that He is completely intolerant of lying. Let's begin in the book of 1 John, not the Gospel, but the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 21. 1 John 2, verse 21. John says, I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. The Greek term that's used here gives us our English word, pseudo. Pseudo is a falsehood. It is speaking something with a deliberate intent to deceive. A deliberate intent to deceive. You know, I may say something, or I may intend to do something. I may tell somebody, I'm going to be there, I'm going to do this, and I completely intend to be there and to do that. But sometimes there are unforeseen circumstances that come up and I'm not able to do this or be there or whatever the case may be. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a deliberate intent to deceive somebody, a falsehood, and that's what a true falsehood is. You intend to deceive them. And the Bible shows us that this is truly condemned by God. In Ephesians 4, verse 23, the Apostle Paul shows us this is something that is characteristic of our former life. This is something we put away. It's something that the world, unbelievers, the ungodly, they still wallow in that, but not one of God's children. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning there in verse 23, he says, "You be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And therefore, since this is true of you and I in Christ, lay aside falsehood. Speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." You see what he said here? If we're new creatures, created in righteousness, being made anew, of course that recreation process is going on all the time. We've been raised to walk in newness of life, seeking pure and undefiled religion, walking according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Then we will lay aside falsehood, verse 25. And I think it's noteworthy that the first proof, the first evidence, the first fruit of our new life in Christ, we're honest. We're honest people. Our yes is yes and our no is no. We mean it. Our word is our bond, unlike the world and our former self. Our word means something. We take our word seriously, and you know, if you take it seriously, other people will too. Our word means something. Back in Proverbs 6, the passage our brother referred us to at the table there, Proverbs chapter 6, we get a clear picture of what God thinks about lying. Proverbs chapter 6, again, there are six things he mentions here which the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination to him, something loathsome unto God. And easy to remember these things. You just go down different parts of the body. Haughty eyes. And just move down a little further. Lying tongue. Okay? A heart that devises wicked plans. Hands that shed innocent blood. Just go down the body. Feet that run rapidly to evil. A false witness that utters lies. And he who sows discord among his brethren. God hates such things. Of course, he hates all sin. And this is just a sampling of sins here. But you notice among the things that God hates, he hates a lying tongue. Be sure, if we do not repent of this sin, God will punish those who lie. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 leaves no doubt about this matter. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. John, through the Holy Spirit, tells us the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, and listen to this, all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now that warning is repeated in verse 27 of this chapter. Nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination, and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. People who lie without repentance, regardless of circumstance, will never walk through the gates of heaven. Of this you can be certain. Now let's go back to the Old Testament and look at a few examples of lying there and some of the terrible consequences that came as a result of lying. And of course, one that may stand out immediately in your mind, and one that came to my mind immediately, is in the very beginning. The first lie uttered by the devil himself in Genesis 3. Go back with me to Genesis 3. Jesus said in John 8:44, the devil is a liar, is the father of lies. Liar from the beginning, and here's proof of that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die." Verse 5, "For God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." There's your first lie. God said you will die, and Satan said you will not die. It's important to understand all sin is a lie. It offers you a false hope, a false expectation, a false sense of reality. It always wears a mask. It'll take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and in the end it will condemn you. It promises everything, but in the end it gives you destruction, death and destruction. That's the way of all sin, and that's what you see from the beginning. Satan lied. The woman was deceived in the transgression, and as a result of her sin and Adam's sin, then death came into the world. The ground was cursed. All the creatures of the earth were cursed, the serpent more. The woman would have increased pain in childbirth. The man would now have to labor even harder by the sweat of his brow in order to produce for his family. Sin brought terrible consequences, and I want you to observe that this resulted from a lie. A lie told by the devil himself. And if we follow suit and we lie to one another, then we are not a disciple of God. We're more a disciple of the devil. We're like him. He is the father of lies. Look at the terrible consequences that came into this world as a result of a lie. 1 Kings chapter 13 reveals other consequences that come. 1 Kings 13 and verse 17. God had sent a prophet to rebuke King Jeroboam, king of the northern tribes, because he had instituted and they had accepted an entirely different priesthood, a different form of worship, different places of worship, Dan and Bethel as opposed to Jerusalem. And so God sent his prophet to rebuke Jeroboam. And he told the prophet, he said, after you finish your task, he said, you're not to eat anything. You're not to eat anything on the entire journey. And when you return, you are to return by a different way. Don't come back the way that I said, or the way that you go. You come back by a different way. Don't eat anything, and you return by a different way. That's the command of the Lord, and that was clear. That was understood by the prophet, and he states that. But while he's on the journey, there's an old prophet that meets him, and this old prophet tells him that God or an angel had spoke to him, and this angel said to him that he could come to his house and he could partake of a meal. And the young prophet believes the old prophet. And here's what happens. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 17. The older prophet is telling him in verse 17, command came to me by the word of the Lord, the young prophet says, a command came to me by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread or drink water there, do not return by going the way which you came. In verse 18, here's the older prophet, he said to him, I'm a prophet like you, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now as a result of that lie, God then tells the prophet, because you have not listened to me, but you've listened to this man, then you will not go to the grave of your fathers. And on the way back home, a lion comes up and he kills the man. We see terrible consequences once again that came as a result of a lie. Go back to Proverbs chapter 6 again. Proverbs chapter 6. We see what's stated here implies other consequences that can come from a lie. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 19, God hates a false witness who utters lies. What is a false witness? He's a liar. He gets before a group of people, comes into a court of law, and he lies. He gives false testimony. Now, what happens as a result of his false testimony? Innocent people suffer, and the guilty are declared innocent. You see how terrible that is? No greater example of that than in the case of Jesus, and two witnesses came forth and said, He said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. Uttering their lies. Jesus did say that. Of course, they completely took him out of context. And they accused Jesus of blasphemy. And as a result of those lies and other lies, the innocent was punished and the guilty was set free. Barabbas was set free. In Acts chapter 5, go to the New Testament now. Acts chapter 5, we have, again, clear example of consequences that come from lying. Ananias and Sapphira, soon after the congregation of the saved began, the Lord's congregation of the saved began, they lied about a piece of property they had sold. They sold the property and made a pretense of bringing all the proceeds of the sale and giving it to the apostles. Now, the sad thing is, they didn't have to even sell the property. This is something that was voluntary. They didn't even, if they sold the property, have to bring all the money. But it's clear they wanted the glory of men. And so they lied about the matter. And they lied about bringing all the money to the apostles. They said, yo, this is all the money right here. And of course, they had kept back the portion for themselves. And so we're told in verse 4, Peter says, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? After it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it you've conceived this deed in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard it. A lie cost Ananias and Sapphira their life. Lies unrepented of will cost us eternal life. A lie is a falsehood. It's told with deliberate intent to deceive. God hates it. It brings serious consequences. And if unrepented of, it will be eternal consequences. Now, I want to take a few minutes in our lesson, and I want to share with you some of the common ways that people will lie. People in our society, the unbeliever and the ungodly, lie commonly every day. And you know that. And we have to be careful we're not influenced by our culture in that way, among many other ways. We have to be careful about this. Let's just look at a few examples that the unbeliever and the ungodly will lie. Go back with me to Proverbs 11. That sets up one of the examples. Proverbs 11, verse 1. Proverbs 11, verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. In ancient times, monetary values were determined by a system of weights and balances. And so a person who is greedy, a person who is dishonest, might tip the scales to gain an advantage to get more money for himself. But God says, if you do that, that's an abomination to me. Now, the principle from this passage, I think, is clear, and that is honesty in our business dealings. Honesty in our business dealings. In modern terms, the equivalent of this would be rigging the gas pumps. A grocery store weighting the scales. A pharmacist diluting the medication. Stores artificially inflating the prices. How often does that happen? The bait and switch strategy. Bait you in with this, but sell you that. Withholding wages from employees. This is what I'll pay you if you do this work. But then they withhold the wages. James talks about that in chapter 5. Those who withheld wages, dishonest, among other things. Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. In whatever way you may be dishonest, in time your sin will find you out. You're not getting away with anything. God's not mocked. Whatever we sow, that's what we'll reap. All mankind. Ephesians 4:28 tells us that we need to work with honest labor. If we used to steal or lie or cheat, we need to put that away. We need to work with honest labor that we may be able to have some left over to share with those in need. And so if we're honest, we're going to earn those wages. We're going to work hard. Those wages are our just due for labor rendered. And if we're honest, even when that boss is not looking, he's not standing over our shoulder, what are we doing? We're working with honest labor, earning the wages that He has promised to pay us. If we sell that item at the garage store or sale, or if we put it in a secondhand store or put it on eBay, then we're going to tell the truth about it. Does the radio work? Does the old clunker leak oil? How's the transmission in it, you see? Whatever the case may be, we're going to deal in good faith with the individual when we're selling something. And if we find a ring, let's say in a parking lot, I think it gets into this area certainly as well. If we find somebody's billfold, if we maybe just a large amount of money, If we find somebody's pet. I really appreciate people when I see a newspaper ad that says, found a ring. Call this number, give description. You know, maybe a large amount of money was found. Can you give me details where this may have been lost? Now, sometimes it's not possible to return things like that. But in many cases, it is. You're at the store and they give you more money, you see, than they should have. It's honest to return that. That's not your money, you see. And if they overpay you or give you back more than you deserve, then be honest and give it back to them. Are we honest in our taxes? Do we truly render to Caesar that which is Caesar's? Are we honest in our taxes? Are we filling out the information honestly, just as we should? Listen to the words of Jeremiah chapter 17 on this subject. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 11. As a partridge that hatches eggs which it has not laid, so is he who makes a fortune but unjustly. In the midst of his days it will forsake him, and in the end he will be a fool. Now Jeremiah is saying this in partial rebuke of Judah. One of the reasons they fell is because of dishonest gain. Dishonest gain is doomed to failure. Look at Jim and Tammy Faye Baker back in the 80s. What happened there? Well, they deceived a lot of people, deceived them out of millions of dollars. But in the end, what happened? They're shown to be fools, charlatans, liars. And look what happened to them as a result of that. Exposed as liars and fools. In the midst of his days, it will forsake him, and in the end, he will be a fool. Ill-gotten gains never prosper. One man said, better to be an honest beggar than to be a rich liar. Better to be an honest beggar than to be a rich liar. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 shows another way people lie. 1 John chapter 2. There in verse 4. Let's read verse 3 and 4. By this we know we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4, the one who says, I've come to know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. The truth is not in him. And so 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 teaches us that we can lie by our actions as well as our words. We may sing, oh, how I love Jesus. But John 14, 15 tells us we must prove that love for Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. There are some who profess love for Jesus, but their life is inconsistent with their profession. They're like the barren fig tree in Mark chapter 11. You remember that story? Mark chapter 11. Jesus had made that was making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And on the way, he sees this fig tree. And this fig tree has leaves on it. And since it has leaves on it, he figures there must be figs as well. Because some fig trees, and clearly this is one of them, would put on figs while it's putting on leaves. And so he sees the leaves, and he says there must be figs there. So being hungry, he goes up to the fig tree. He looks among the boughs and the limbs of the fig tree. But Mark tells us he sees nothing but leaves. How disappointed the Savior must have been. He expected fruit. There was the appearance of fruit. Every indication was that there was fruit there. But when he searched and made careful investigation, closer examination, there was nothing but leaves. You know, some professed disciples are like that. They profess to love Jesus and profess to serve him. But if you look closely at their life, you'll find there's no real personal relationship between them and the Lord. Professing to be godly, they've really denied the power of God, Paul says. There's no individual study going on at home. The only study they get is when maybe they come here. They don't hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's no personal life in regard to prayer. They're not talking to their Heavenly Father during the week. About the only time they pray is maybe when they come here. Because that's one of the things we do. And do they think about the death of Jesus during the week? Probably not. Are they visiting the sick? Are they calling upon those in need? Are they encouraging their brethren during the week? Or do they just show up and expect things to go well somehow? And then they leave and go on their way. Nothing but leaves. How sad that is. And that is, of course, very sad to Jesus. We can lie in our lives. We can become living lies if our profession and our lives are not consistent. And so, one person said in light of that, he said, you know, I'm not going to call on brother and so anymore, because all he'll do is tell me another lie. Because all he says, I'll be there, I'll do this, I'll do that. Don't you get tired of that? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Friend, if you say yes, you better mean yes, and if you say no, you better mean no. Don't tell me or anybody else you're going to do something and not intend to do it. That's a lie. And if you do not repent of that, then you will be lost. Some lie when they develop the Sunday or Wednesday evening-itis. It's a sickness that amazingly leaves them on Monday and Thursday. It's amazing how people recover so quickly. Never forget, God is not mocked. You know, you don't need to prove anything to me. I'm going to be judged just like you. God's not mocked. Whatever we sow, that will we also reap. Let's also be careful about euphemizing lies. Sometimes they're called white lies or polite lies. We water them down, don't we? We say if a statement is made, you know, to not hurt somebody's feelings, you see, or for a good enough reason, then it's justified. But we see that the word here, suedo, is a deliberate intent to deceive. And you can call it whatever you want to, but it's still a lie and therefore a sin. 1 John 2:21 says, no lie is of the truth. You may not see the immediate consequence of a white lie, but believe God. Trust God. It's never right to lie. Even if it's a so-called white lie or a polite lie, it's still a lie. Cheating is also a form of lying. Cheating is attempting to deceive someone into thinking you're better than you really are, or that you've achieved something through work or merit. Neither, of course, is true if it's cheating. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth obtained by fraud dwindles. The one who gathers by labor increases. It's true, the cheater never truly prospers. Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. In other words, your words are your bond, and they should be as binding as a legal document. When we say yes and no, mean yes or no. Jesus said so. It's another way you and I can be different from the world. You know, we hear the world commonly lie. One man estimated that many people in the world will lie as much as 100 times in a day. Just imagine that. That's in a book entitled When the World Told the Truth, or something along that line, When the World Society Told the Truth. No, When America Told the Truth. And he talks about how it's just become a way of life to many people, lying. And something that confuses me is this expression that's commonly used today. I'll be talking to someone, and somewhere in the conversation they'll say, well, to be honest with you. Well, what are you saying? You weren't honest before? You know, I have a relative, and he'll say that all the time. Well, to be quite honest with you. Well, I hope you are. You know, that's what I want to say. I mean, why are you saying that to me? I hope you're honest with me all the time. I'm assuming that you're honest with me all the time. So why do you think you have to qualify this matter, to be quite honest with you? I hope you're honest with me all the time. Do we really need to say that? We just get into habits, don't we? I hope you're honest all the time. You don't need to qualify what you have to say. A person may feel a need to make a promise. But remember, Hebrews chapter 6 teaches us when you make a promise or you make an oath or a vow, the reason you do that is not to convince yourself to be honest. It's to give value in your words to somebody else, in the mind of someone else. Maybe they don't know you very well, you see. Or because of the weight of what you're talking about requires that oath, such as in a court of law or in the wedding altar. You make such an oath. Well, again, I don't make that oath to convince myself. In Hebrews 6, when we're told God made an oath, He swore by Himself. God wasn't convincing Himself, He'd be honest, but He was convincing Abraham, you see. And it added weight to His words in the mind of Abraham. A promise or an oath is not made to convince yourself. It's made to convince other people. The point of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and in Hebrews chapter 6 is honesty. Just be honest. And we need to instill these principles in our children. And that they don't need to qualify what they say. Just be honest. There's no need to say, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Or scout's honor. Cross my heart. Hope to die. Sometimes they think, cross my fingers, you know, and somehow that'll erase what I had to say. We need to teach our children honesty. That's the point of Matthew chapter 5. And of course, that's what God expects us to be, honest in all things. We should not have to qualify that honesty unless someone requires that of us. And we conscientiously do not have a problem with that. We're all very interested in integrity. Well, brother and sister, that begins with honesty. Honesty and integrity are synonymous. Jesus spoke the truth in all things, and so His disciples must do the same. To speak lies without repentance makes us a disciple of Satan. Don't make promises you can't keep. If you say, yes, I'll be there, I'll do this, I'll call you, take your word seriously, and others will do the same. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be a person of integrity. That is essential to being a person of integrity. If you break your word, be expected to be held accountable for that. Don't make excuses. Confess your sin, this sin and all sins. Make the necessary changes, and God, of course, will forgive you your sins. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And let's be honest with the truth. And the truth is, we can be free through Jesus Christ. We have these wonderful words, the testimony of these eye-near witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men testify that Jesus lived. He died on the cross to save us from our sins, and He's been risen from the dead, allowing us someday the hope of also being raised from the dead and living with Him forever. Be honest with the truth. And that truth tells us that if we want to come into Jesus Christ, we must repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Be honest with that truth and realize where you are in relation to God. What do you need to do to be saved? Whatever sin you've committed, lying, theft, immorality, homosexuality, idolatry, greed, whatever the sin may be, there can be complete forgiveness of sins. God will remember sins no more. He'll blot them out. He'll treat them as if they never existed if you'll give your heart to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Be honest with the truth. Come to Jesus this morning, will you? Let this word encourage you as we stand and as we sing.